I woke this morning with the old song that we haven't done for years. I haven't even heard anybody do it for years. Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away before the name of Jesus. The Bible says that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't know why, honestly, the tune of that particular song and all the words, I wasn't especially a big fan of that song when it was popular years and years ago, like the words of the beginning of it. But this morning, as I went to sleep and asking the Lord to guide me on the message for this morning, as I always do, and ask the Lord to change anything that needs to be changed in the message. I don't want to speak from the flesh, but from the Spirit. Don't want that even interwoven. I want to be directed by the Spirit as I speak. And this morning, that was my first waking thoughts, was Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. A few of you may remember that old song, but I realized how often I draw from the Lord. And many of you can relate to that, that are walking with Him. Scripture says He is a friend that's closer than a brother. We start with kind of a servant mentality. We're sons and daughters right off. But we don't get it. We kind of start, I think all of us start with somewhat of a servant mentality and certainly an appropriate heart of gratitude for what God has done, the forgiving of our sins and the changing of our heart. But I think we kind of start with a servant mentality, but God walks us along and His desire is that we become friends. He said to His disciples, I call you no more servants, I call you friends. For a servant knows not what the master doeth, but I have told you all that I will do. I've confided in you. I've connected with you. Confide, confidence. The word confide is the root word F-I-D, which is where we get the word fidelity. And it's a higher quality level of relationship. It's a higher walk with Him. We go in our servant mentality to a friend, but then His desire for us is that we go from friend to son and daughter, and we come to the place where we can say, Abba, Father, and we know He is our Father, and we know Him in a very personal ways, and we begin to walk in the full sonship as a son or daughter. For now we are the sons of God, it says in 1 John. When we begin to walk in that and develop in that new realm, then is where a lot that we read in the Bible that we've scratched our head about and said, when does this come into play? When does this particular thing happen that's promised? When do I see this take place in my life? As we walk into full sonship as sons and daughters of God, we begin to see those things come into play that the Scripture has promised. And we begin to experience the provision and the watchful care and all of that is available before that. But we're not at a place where we can receive it fully. I want to grow here on earth and develop in the walk that He wants me to be. He has called us to be like Jesus. And I'm realizing more and more I'm drawing from His name. And I had the misconception as I got older that I would become more capable on my own, only to realize, turning 60 last March and getting older and feeling a lot older. Somebody said the other day, they said, Tom doesn't look his age. I don't know about that, but they said, Tom doesn't look his age, but he's got a lot of miles on him. and I kind of feel that way. I got a lot of miles on me, and I'm noticing my age a lot. And I was naive and had the misconception that as you walk with the Lord, you're just going to become more secure and all of that. I'm realizing the older you get, how many can relate to this? The older you get, the more dependent you have to be. But that's a good thing. For when I am weak, I am strong, Paul said. So as I get older, thinking, man, one of these days I'm going to just stand like a rock, and I'm realizing, oh, Lord, I need you more. I have to call out your name more. I have to reach out to you more for strength. But really, that's what He intended for in John 15. It says we're to abide in the vine. And the more we realize our need for Him, and the more we stay connected to Him, and the more we have to draw from Him hour by hour, minute by minute, the more stable and solid we become. So it was a false, prideful image as a young man that, oh man, I'm going to be able to stand on my own 2 feet. No. I become more and more dependent. I become more connected. I draw more life from Him. It goes from day by day to hour by hour and then minute by minute, dependence on Him. And I'm appreciative of the closeness of the Lord. And I'd like to say to you, some of you maybe that have been through more than others, but I want to say to you today that the scriptures, the ones in there that I have had the privilege of testing out, if I may say it that way, I kind of say that hesitantly, the ones I've had the opportunity to test out, Jesus is who he says he is. 10 years ago, I found that after standing by bedsides for years as a pastor and reading the 23rd Psalm and meaning it, and reaching out to sick people and people in their dying hour and reading from the 23rd Psalm, I meant every word of it. But I found in my own experience 10 years ago that it did come to pass in my own life that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And he is who he says he is. And he shows up. He shows up in our hour of need, in that time when we need him. The name of Jesus and the powerful word of God, that's kind of our topic this morning. And won't talk real long to you. We've been doing lots of music the last few Sundays and enjoying doing that. But I do want to talk to you briefly about Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus. We often sing the chorus, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And of course, in a ministry where we deal with lots of addictions, I want the people here and our leaders, we want the people who have been through brokenness and desperately need the Savior, for I know a secret, he who is forgiven much loveth much. And that person who has been saved out of the worst of things is the person that has a deep devotion and a passion for God. It was Mary Magdalene, the woman who had been the demonic prostitute that was at the foot of the cross when all the disciples tucked tail and left. And we're not sure where they all, I shouldn't say they all tucked tail. It did say they all forsook him and fled, but we know that various ones had fallen into doubt and fear. And of course, Peter denied that he even knew him and wept bitterly and came back and repented. And Jesus restored him threefold by saying, do you love me, three times? But it's interesting to me that at the cross and at the tomb, we see the Marys. We see the ones who had had difficult and rough backgrounds, for God is out for the broken and the hurting. And that's the theme of our ministry here. But there is power in the name of Jesus. And when you come out of a life of brokenness, and when you come out of a life of despair, and you come out of a life of ugliness in your past, you need to get a hold of the name of Jesus Christ, and you need to get a hold of the powerful word of God. Because those are the tools against the enemy. That's what pushes back the enemy. And becoming a Christian, especially coming out of deep darkness, and that so many of us have come out of deep darkness, it's not just turning over a new leaf, or I'm going to now be a good moral person on all that, even though those are components for sure. It does change us and make us a better neighbor, and it certainly deals with our morality and all of that. But we need to become accustomed to calling on the name of Jesus. And in going to bed last night and thinking about the powerful word of God and the words in Matthew 4 that I'll read in a minute, it is written in the temptation of Jesus. I awoke with the song, Jesus, Jesus, there is something about that name. Employ, engage, include, enlist, however you want to say it, the name of Jesus into your daily walk. I used to hear my mother whisper and pray. She became a little hard of hearing as she got older and didn't realize we could hear her praying at times. It was so common to hear her say the name Jesus. And I realized that in spiritual warfare, as I'm getting older more and more, I'm using certain words. Alan made the comment the other day, so been awesome. And I know he's going through such a hard time right now and praying for he and Misty, but it has been awesome to have him with us and the good connection there we've had and seeing to him developing in so many different ways in this hard time. But he said, Dad, you're constantly saying mercy, 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 mercy. Well, I got thinking, the kind of ministry in that makes sense. You know, I'm constantly saying mercy, mercy. And I think that just comes out of me because we're frequently seeking God's mercy for ourselves, how to lead, how to guide, how to help, and mercy for others. Enlist the powerful words of Jesus, the word of God. Matthew chapter 4, I want to read a little bit today, and we'll see where we go with this. I've been trying more and more in my preaching not to lock down any thought too tight. We'll just see where the Lord leads us on this particular passage. But this is the story of the temptation of Jesus. And I believe I have it up here. Yes, Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, some translations say wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. Boy, I thought when you were led of the Spirit, that was all excitement. I thought, sure, when the Spirit's leading you, man, that would be adventure and firecrackers and excitement. And he was led of the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. New Christians, young Christians, there's some testing times. Don't get the idea for 1 minute that Jesus just with reckless abandon throws you to the devil. No. Don't get that idea for 1 minute. That with Jesus with reckless abandon, he throws you to the devil. No. But he does allow you and lead you into circumstances where the devil has an opportunity to test and to put the pressure on. And it's through the trial of our faith that we develop. It's through the wrestling match that we figure things out. We wrestle it out. Oh, Pastor, I'm wrestling awful with some things. That's a good season. May not be a colorful, exciting season, and there are many of them. Years ago, I was praying at the altar, probably about 20 years old at the time. That's been centuries ago. And Pastor Ronald Bishop, his last name was Bishop. Some think he was a bishop. No, here, that was his name. Pastor Ronald Bishop was praying with me. And I was talking about the rough time I was having and the difficulty I was having and the struggle I was having. And he just grinned with a real compassionate, kind look and grinned at me and said, "Weren't you just telling me that you wanted God to develop you? Weren't you just telling me that a few weeks ago?" That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. For it is through the trial of our faith. It is through the difficulties that we develop and grow and wrestle things out. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Interesting, just a little sidelight. It says, after fasting, he was hungry. I have found that you can be so burdened in a fast that you're not hungry till afterwards. You can become so burdened for that wayward child or that difficult situation. There's a burden spiritually that can come over you that overtakes the physical things. And I can relate a little bit, just a little bit to that. There's a burden spiritually that God can place on your heart for someone that you're not hungry till afterwards. It's all consuming. And Jesus was here fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If." Mike, you ever had that? If. If you're a Christian, then why do you feel this way? If God has really forgiven you, why this, why that? If. Come back to that. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written." Jesus answered, "It is written." Man, that must be important, you guys. Why, Jesus, the Son of God, he could have called 10,000 angels, it says, 12 legions, 10,000 angels on the cross to destroy the world and set him free. He wouldn't have had to die on the cross. At his disposal, he had the call of angels. This is Jesus, the Son of God. How did he go back at the devil? He said, "It is written." The powerful word of God. Today, our sermon is on employing, engaging, enlisting, including the name of Jesus and the powerful word of God in your daily life. I'm amazed at the people who have walked with the Lord for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years and they can't quote one scripture. Please don't be offended. They can't quote one scripture. Not that it has to be quoted in perfection. And I'm not suggesting legalistically that you carry around a big binder and memorize in perfect order. I am, though, more than suggesting. Through the direction and unction of the Spirit, I'm asking you to store God's word in your heart and take it in and know it, because it's your weapon against the enemy. Jesus himself said, "It is written." And logos, the written word of God, is a powerful thing in your life. And then there's the rhema word of God, that thing that God speaks to you that you hold on to, that time when God gives you something that was for you from the Lord, and you know that it is for you. And we'll not go into that this morning, but it is written, employ, enlist the word of God in your life. I'm amazed at people and how little of scripture they actually know. They might know a few of the principles or learning a few, but they know very little scripture. Jesus himself said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So keep in mind the first temptation. If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. We'll come back to that. Then the devil took him up to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and said, if, there it is again, that great big two-letter word, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Oh, now the devil's going to take a shot at quoting the Bible. The devil says, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and he will lift you up in your hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Interesting that the devil tried to pull in scripture. May I suggest to you, and we'll not go there, but I do want to touch on it. Not everybody that's quoting scripture and claiming to be speaking out of the Bible is. Not everybody that's claiming scripture and saying they're speaking out of the Bible is. You know the biggest danger in our generation on false teaching is that it's mixed so nicely with truth. Yeah. Daddy used to say, if you put out a bowl of pure poison for a dog, he'll come up and smell that. He ain't gonna eat it. But you take a pinch of that deadly poison and you mix it in with a pound of hamburger, and he'll eat it all, lick his chops, and want some more. But it'll kill him. And people are taking deception and mixing it with a fair amount of truth. There are ministries out there, yeah, they're giving a fair amount of truth, and they're saying some principles that are right, but they're neglecting the cross. They're neglecting the forsaking of sin. And may I remind you of a voice from the grave, David Wilkerson. I've always believed David Wilkerson was anointed prophet of the last generation. I've always believed that. Felt God spoke to me about that as a young man, as I was confused with all the TV preachers and all of the guys that were looking for fame and fortune. And Lord, give me wisdom to know who is on track and who isn't. I begged the Lord to give me wisdom, who to know on track. And I felt God laid on my heart that David Wilkerson was a man that he had empowered. And I saw him through the years as he refused to go the spotlight route. And even at one point felt guilty because of the buildings they owned in New York City. And they, of course, ran Teen Challenge and for drug addiction. And I remember when he sent out letters and said, we're selling our properties and we're moving and putting all of our stuff into a big pole barn in Texas because I want to liquidate everything I can to meet all the need I can. And I thought, here's a guy that's on track. He's not worried about fancy cars and fancy home. He's willing to sell out even though hundreds and thousands of dollars came into his ministry. But may I quote him from the grave this morning as he gave the same warning in one of his last sermons before he died. That he said the same thing I'm saying. He said, beware of these ministries that are they're attracting thousands and preaching prosperity, 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 and it's all blessing and all of that. That is true. There's tremendous blessing. But he said, my friends, they're leaving out the cross. They're leaving out sacrifice. They're leaving out denial of yourself. They're leaving out, got to leave sin behind. They're conveniently leaving that out. And that's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous thing. And somebody needs to call it on that. Be careful. The devil can quote scripture, and he can package himself very well. Oh, is that true or isn't it? Back in Genesis 6, it says the serpent was more cunning than all the beasts of the field, and he walked up to Eve and started a conversation. And we know he was cursed later because the devil was in him, and the curse actually made the snake crawl on his belly on the ground. But initially, the serpent was a beautiful creature. And walked up to Eve and started a conversation and said, can you eat of all the trees here in the garden? Beautiful place. Well, we can all but one. Why can't you eat of that one? See, the beautiful, gentle, appropriate approach that draws you in. And may I say to you that yes, Satan was seen as fire fallen from heaven, and there's certainly some things like that, and he's the roaring lion. But in these last days before the return of Christ, may I remind you that Jesus' warning was, be not deceived. Beware of deception. And I want to say that here from this platform as well. You go home. We're not on the defensive here. Oh, we pray hard. We do our homework. We walk miles and miles and miles a week to pray. But I'm not on the defensive about the gospel. I challenge you, when I'm finished preaching, you go home and you search the scriptures and you make sure that that lines up with it is written. We're not going to try to sell you anything. We don't have to be on the defensive. But Paul the apostle was so sure of his gospel, he said, if anyone preaches anything else to you, let him be accursed. That's pretty strong. Man, that's being dogmatic, isn't it? Ooh, boy, we'd have canned him up, wouldn't we, nowadays. Paul said, if anyone preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. But I want to tell you, in this church, you feel free to go home, and you should, and you search the scripture, because the Holy Spirit is the author of truth, and he'll confirm to you. And as you read and you say, Pastor Tom said some pretty strong things this morning, and I believe in him, and I have confidence in him, and I hope that you do, but he's a man too, and I believe you're speaking through him. Show me truth, and go back and read those same scriptures.
Isn't that something on that point, Mike? Quit. You go home and seek out the scriptures. The Holy Spirit will register truth with you. And don't let me be bothered by this. I'll figure this out. The Holy Spirit will register truth to you. In fact, when the Holy Spirit was given in John 14... in 15 and 16, and Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit, he called him the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. And the Holy Spirit, one of his ministries is to confirm truth to you. Take some voice effects off of this. That's what's wrong. He'll confirm truth to you. So when you go home and say, man, that hit me hard this morning. Or, man, I don't know about that. Lord, I bow before you. Show me truth. I did that as a young man. I did that. I had seen so much growing up. My dad was a traveling evangelist. He would go anywhere he was asked to preach. And believe me, we were some dandy places. Believe me, I'll not go into it. I've seen everything you can imagine happen in a church service. And I've gotten up and left some. Daddy would go anywhere he was asked to go. But what it did is it gave me a cross-section and understanding of what Christianity was and wasn't. And there was some good in that. But it had a negative effect on me as well. And so there was times I didn't know how I felt about church. And so as a young man, I had a deep desire. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. And when I look back, one of the main things I had as a young man was a desire for truth. And I used to go to the Lord and say, please show me what is true and what is false. Give me a discerning spirit. Are you familiar with the gift of discernment? Don't hesitate to ask God for that. Discernment is spiritual sense of smell. You see, God has given you a nose. And so, if you pick up a piece of meat and it is out of your stew and it is rank and rotten, if you're eating slowly, you won't put it in your mouth, because when you get it right here, you go, wait a minute, or that milk's sour. Because God gave you a nose, and spiritual sense of smell is discernment. It's that thing that you feel in your heart, something's not right about this. Ever have that? You come home and you say, something's not right about this. This new friendship, something's not right. They seem like the nicest person. Man, they're saying all the right things, but something isn't right here. Don't override that feeling. Pray for discernment, and then don't override the cautions that God gives you. The times that I have done that, I have regretted it. And these are days we need to pray for discernment. The devil can quote scripture, and he will. He quoted to Jesus. Isn't it interesting that he asked him to do something crazy and then backed it up with scripture? There's folks doing that. They're saying crazy things and backing it with scripture. The devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and said, "Throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in your hands that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus said, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Now, you say, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor. You said the word of God's powerful. The devil quoted it, and so did Jesus. Isn't this just kind of an even tug of war? The word of God's different when it's got Jesus in it. You with me? The word of God's different. It's sharper and powerful. It's a two-edged sword. And when you got to walk with God, like I've been talking the last few weeks, and you're spending time with God and you're developing intimacy with God, when you quote the word and put those two things together, are you with me? You put your time with God and that relationship that you have with God, and you put that coupled with the word of God, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, he didn't give up easy. Again, the devil took him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this will I give you if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him. Some translations say for a season. And the angels came and ministered to him. All right, I'm going to watch my time. If. Not going to spend a long time on this. If you're a Christian, the planting of a doubt. If you're a Christian, then why can't you this? If you're truly forgiven. If God truly loves you, then why did this happen? If. I think one of the biggest tools of the enemy verbally is the word if. In the Bible, it calls him the accuser of the brethren. Don't facilitate the devil. Resist him. Rebuke him. Employ and engage the powerful word of God. Let me just tell you something really practical in your daily life. Had some huge struggles as a young man. I made a practice of looking up verses that pertain to those struggles. I know in our mentoring group here, it's awesome to have the men meet here every. God is moving in the men in this church. I know sometimes we'll talk about the temptation of lust in this open society that we live today, where anything goes. Remember as a young man working in a business where I waited on women all day long. I was a Christian man, raising a family, going through financial distress, problems at work, lots of stresses. I remember writing down and just tell you something real practical that I did. There's various ways you can engage the Word of God. But I used to sit and take note cards, 3x5 note cards, because they'd fit in my shirt pocket. In those days, we had to dress up to go to work at Kroger's and always wear a tie and sports shirt, usually a white shirt. In the early days, and tie. I got so used to wearing a tie, I didn't even know I had it on. Neighbor would laugh. He'd say, "You were out tilling your garden, had a tie on." I'd wear a tie, work every day, and I just got used to it. I felt funny without one. And I'd come home from work and start working outside and forget I had it on. But I would take note cards, and I looked up all the verses in the Bible. "He that looketh at a woman that lusteth after hath committed adultery in his heart." And verses about purity, and I would write them on note card, and I'd keep them in my pocket. Do you know that if you memorize, this is real practical, okay? If you memorize one verse a week, you'll know 52 scripture verses at the end of the year. Just one a week. And you say, "Oh, my memory's awful." Don't give me that. You can tell me, I bet you everybody here can tell me what channel all your favorite shows are on. Okay? You can. One verse a week. Put it in my shirt pocket, get it on break, read it through the day tomorrow. At the end of the week, you know that verse by memory. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Now, if that's all you do, stay with me. If that's all you do, then you get caught up in legalism and just trusting this piece of paper. That walk with God and that intimate time, then storing the word, when you say it is written, it isn't just words. When you say, get behind me, Satan, it is written, there's a powerful force. When you say, get behind me, Satan, it is written, he'll be off running. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It pushes the enemy back. 2 weeks ago, I talked about strongholds being broken, and the enemy is pushed back through the word of God and the relationship together. I would encourage you, if you have someone you can't forgive, sit down, take some note cards. And of course, we're without excuse because we have the Bible on our apps in our, we got the Bible every place. So we're without excuse. We have the availability of scriptures. We got it in every translation. We can look stuff up in concordance if we want to on break. We don't have to wait and go get a book or go to the library. But I would encourage you, if you're having trouble forgiving somebody, begin looking through the verses. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The story in Matthew of the unmerciful debtor, that unless you forgive from the heart, you'll not be forgiven. And start digging into those verses. Thy word have I hid in my heart. You'll find you'll overcome tremendous things in your life through the word of God and the relationship with God together. Don't facilitate the devil. I want to throw something else in there too. You know something else that'll help you tremendously at work as a Christian? Share your testimony. Yes. Share your testimony. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, that we defeat the enemy with the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And when you, same thing, when you have a relationship, now remember I said you have your relationship and then you use the written word. That's powerful. Because it's enhanced by the relationship. God within you, the Holy Spirit using the word. And when you share your testimony, it's a powerful thing. And you don't shove it down people's throats, you don't hit them over the head with the Bible, that's not how we operate. But when you have the opportunity, and wait for the opportunity, Lord, give me the chance to share my testimony with someone. I remember sitting in the break room, troubled young woman, been through several marriages. Said your wife comes in and shops. You seem like you look forward to seeing her. I see you guys talk. What's your secret? Ah, the door just came open. I said, well, the truth is, it probably wouldn't be that way with the way I used to be. But something has happened in both of us that's bonded us, really. Led into one conversation, two conversations, three conversations, four conversations. Pretty soon, this gal's getting off work. She's punching out, coming over to my department saying, could I talk to you a little bit more about some things? And I saw hunger for God. Your testimony's powerful. Don't shove it on people. Don't get legalistically bound in, oh, I got a witness to 10 people this week or I'm not what I should be. No, say, Lord, open the way today for me to use the powerful thing you've done in my life. For we defeat the enemy by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Don't facilitate the devil. Resist him. And let me say one more thing about that, and I want to move on. Facilitating the devil means putting up with it. Just putting up with it. Call him. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get behind me. Immediately address the issue when temptation comes. Immediately separate yourself, if possible, from the situation. Employ and engage the powerful word of God. All right, the first temptation he gave Jesus, if you be the Son of God, make these stones become bread. Let me read that again. I'm having trouble seeing. I'm getting ready to have eye surgery here this winter, you guys. You have to be patient with me. That's why I've got my glasses on and off all the time. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the sons of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, Jesus had finished fasting. He was hungry. And of course, the obvious thing would be here that the enemy tempts him with bread. And of course, I've often heard sermons on this, you know, that the devil uses our weakness on us, and he certainly does. But I think there's a little bit more to this. Daddy used to say when he preached on this, and this came to me this week, do something. He said, it isn't just the obvious temptation of I'm hungry, and so he's tempting to take bread from him, to take it from the devil's hand. And of course, we can compare that to other desires of the flesh that the enemy comes along and offers us options. And through him, rather than letting God supply the needs in the proper way, he offers us options. And certainly that's a valid point in this temptation. But I like the way the direction Daddy went when he preached on this. He said, there's something else the devil's saying here that we're missing, and that is, do something. Prove yourself. I can remember Daddy saying that. Change something. The tempter came and said, and I want to warn you against that temptation. You don't have to prove anything to the devil. You are bought by the blood of Christ, and you are saved. And the devil likes to come along and say, produce something. Produce something. Do this. Change something. Come on, show me. Show me who you are. And I think it's easy to get caught up in that. And we're constantly looking for affirmation. Okay? We're constantly, and I think Daddy was onto something there. Change something and prove that you're the Son of God. And I feel the enemy does come to us in that way. You don't have to prove anything to the devil. You have been bought with a price, the Bible says, and you are saved and you are a child. If you've come to him and opened your heart, you are a child of God. And you don't have to prove anything to him. All right, quickly, secondly, and we're obviously not going to get through all this, but stay with me a little longer. He comes to him and he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he'll command his angels to keep charge of you. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, do not put your Lord God to the test. Do something crazy. And I think this is especially applicable to our group. This is a point I probably wouldn't make everywhere, but I think we need to with our group. You're going to have times along your walk where the enemy is going to come along and tempt you to do something crazy. I think people get misled here. They think God's telling them to do something, and it's really the enemy. If the enemy can't get you to go back to the bars and back to the old life, and he tries that long enough and offers you that bread for your hungry and you don't accept it, then he'll move to another level. He'll start offering you things that look innocent and almost look scriptural. The devil quoted scripture. Well, go ahead and jump off. That was crazy. That was a crazy move. The angels will keep charge over you. Here again, prove yourself, jump off. Let me say that again. If the devil has tried offering you the bread of the first temptation and tried to appeal to your flesh and get you to go back to the bars and back to this and that of the old life, and he sees that doesn't work, then the tempter will move to another level. And he'll offer you options that look kind of scriptural. Well, it does say that the angels will keep charge of you, so hey, why not jump off, try it out, see how my faith is. That's crazy. If God wants you to do something crazy, he'll either take you over, and you won't know you did it till after you did it. I'll come back to that because I've had that happen. I have had that happen. I had stuff that my body just went, it was like I was trying to catch up with myself. The Spirit just prompted me. There's someone sitting in this congregation that God wanted me to minister to in an unusual way. And my body just got up and did it. And afterwards I thought, I don't believe I just did that. But God knew if I thought about it too much, I wouldn't have. And I was supposed to do it. And it brought that person to salvation. And it brought them here. And they know the Lord. And they're with their spouse, and they're serving God, and they're growing. If God wants you to do something crazy, he will either take you over or he'll confirm it over and over and over and over. Don't fall into, hey, sell everything you got tomorrow and go to mission field. Sell everything. How many people do we know that have sold everything they had and in 2 weeks they were back trying to get their job back? Let me remind you, if the temptation of the flesh, you're hungry. Here, take some bread from me. Here. If the temptation from the flesh doesn't work, and he sees you're not going to go back to your old life, his next attempt will to get you to do something crazy, get you to be misled in some way, get you to think you're hearing God when it isn't God. If he wants you to do something crazy, he'll either take you over and cause you to do it, or he'll confirm it over and over. Ask for confirmation. If God speaks to you very strongly about doing something, and you think, wow, that's out there. That's out there. When God spoke to me and told me that we were to open a facility 3 miles from the old one, that's out there. That's breaking all the rules. You line up 100 pastors and ask them if that's a good idea, they'd say, that ain't a good idea. I said, Lord, I will do this, but I have to know that it's you. I will do this. And I'll take the criticism that goes with it. And I'll take it with a smile, Lord. I'm just being honest. I'll take it with a forgiving spirit of anybody that's upset. But I've got to know it's you. And confirmation came. It was almost like God was playing with me and said, is that enough? Is that enough? Is that enough? And then somebody came to me and said, we're going to buy the building, give it to the ministry. And God said, is that enough? And I said, Lord, that's 4 acres on a U.S. highway, and that building's worth, property's worth $300,000. And he said, well, we're going to sign it over and give it to the ministry free. Is that enough? I said, that's enough. That's enough. But the devil, you need to know this, especially this congregation. I want to know my audience. This congregation, you guys all been out there. I have too. You've been out there on the edge. We're a bunch of gangsters and ex-convicts and everything else. And the devil will use this. The devil will use this to do something crazy because we got a lot of adrenaline. And he knows it, and he'll play on it. We got a lot of adrenaline. Some of these churches, he ain't going to tell them to do something crazy. He ain't going to tell them to jump off the building because they're smarter than that. They ain't going to do it. Us, we'll jump. I'll jump off the building. You all seen me jump off of buildings. I'm not, what I'm saying is I'm not afraid to step out. And a lot of us have lived on the edge, and we got that in us. Wait for confirmation. Wait for confirmation. Wait for the still small voice and say, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. I will absolutely do it, but I've got to know it's you. That's not irreverent. That's not irreverent to say, I've got to know it's you. I believe he looks down at us pleased when we do that because he knows that we want to stay close in his will. Does that make sense? Do something crazy. Jump off. All right. I got to quit here sometime. So I'll just jump to the next one. I won't even read it. He said, I'll give you all, the third temptation, I'll give you all of the kingdoms of the world if you fall down and worship me. We talked about this. Oh, think about that. And may I get prophetic for just a second? The devil's going to give that offer again. And the Antichrist is going to take it. He's going to say, you worship me, and I'll give you everything. The Bible says the whole world wondered after the beast, and it was the devil and a man. We read that in Revelation in the book of Daniel. This ain't the only time he's going to make that offer. You bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. The Antichrist is going to take that offer, so I won't go there any farther, but that's the absolute truth. But the Savior saw the devil and knew that, listen, knew that that was a short. Jesus was going to get it all anyway, but he had to go to the cross. You listening? Jesus was going to get it all anyway, but he had to go to the cross, and the devil will try to get you to bypass the cross every single time and offer you a shortcut. Don't take his shortcuts. Don't take his shortcuts. Well, I'll give you bliss and ecstasy, and I'll give you this and this, but here's a shortcut. Do it this way. No, do it by the rules. You okay? He's good at offering shortcuts. Shortcuts end in disaster.
Fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything. Jesus was going to get everything anyway. But he had to go to the cross. He had to go the route of the will of the Father. I want to go the long way. And it's not always long. Sometimes God will bring things in a speedy way. But I want to go God's way. I want to go the way I'm supposed to go. Well, I talk long enough. Actually, I wanted to highlight this, which I believe I did, hoping then that maybe in your devotions this week you would kind of chew on some of this. There's a bunch of points in there I left out that you'll see as you read it. But these are days we need to be alert to the enemy. These are days we need to be alert to the deceiver. It says in the book of Daniel that he knows he has a little time. And I believe the enemy is working at a new level. I believe we're a group that's very susceptible to a lot of the stuff in that I've talked about today. But I also believe that we're a group that's very serious. And if we will seek discernment, we will keep the relationship strong, and we will employ and engage the Word of God, you can have victory over the enemy. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I rebuke you, we say to the devil, in Jesus' name, for it is written. And in that practical point, and then I'll close, I want to remind you of that. Pick the area that you're struggling. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got one. Everybody's got one. Walk with the Lord a lot of years. I got struggles. I got things I struggle with. I got, Lord, I need your help with this particular thing. And problems, things will come in seasons. Get on that Bible app that if you don't have a concordance app, I'll tell you, show you where to get it. Strong's Concordance right on your phone. And you can enter one. Well, Pastor, I can't think of the verse. I know one word. Put it in there. It'll bring it up. We ain't got an excuse. It's right in front of us. And start hiding the word in your heart. And do it your own way. You don't have to do it just like I did. But hide the word in your heart. Because this relationship with the word of God, the name of Jesus, and employing the word, it is written, is how we defeat the enemy. And that'll bring you victory in your Christian life, my friend. If you're in a smutty mouth factory, like a lot of you are, where it's vulgarity around you all the time, the use of God's name, write down the verses about God being holy and about the purity of God and the justice of God and begin planting that in you. And I'll tell you, a transforming thing will happen to you. You'll start hearing somebody say, Jesus in the wrong way, Jesus Christ, and use God's name in vain, and you'll find out that it's not, you're not numb to it anymore. When they say it, you're like, oh, because the relationship and the written word within you recognizes irreverence. And right in the middle of a smutty mouth factory, you can have a holiness within you that you're aware of. Somebody said, oh, this atmosphere I work in at General Electric in Fort Wayne, I heard a friend of mine, this atmosphere that I work in, a brother of mine worked in General Electric in Fort Wayne for years and years and years. Pornography everywhere and just foul stuff everywhere. But in the midst of all that going into the ear gate and the eye gate and the senses, there'll be a heart that's troubled when they hear the use of God's name. When people misuse morality, and there'll be a troubling in your spirit, and that's because the Holy Spirit's within you. I want to be in the mood God's in. I want to be reactive like God is. I want to feel what God feels. And you'll find that more alive in you as you build your relationship and bury yourself in His Word. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the wonderful time to have Kathy Hunt here with us today. Thank you for the music and ministering to my own heart today. Melt anything I've said that would have been said in the flesh. Not aware of it, but if it is that way, melt that. We want those things to be used by your Holy Spirit and buried deep within our hearts. Be with us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.